Clara Waylow, Shishi, Orla Yudbeis Kislev, Thursday 14th of November, Chaim Rappaport, Parshas Vayishlach.
Vayishlach Yaakov, Malachim Lefono, Varis, Alachim Arzo, Seyes, Deyadim, Yitzav, Yisum, Leimu, Koy, Seymun, La'adoyni, Le'eso, Koy, Omar, Avdecho, Yaakov, Im Lovon, Garti, Ho'eichar, Adotho. Yaakov Avinu sends a message to his brother Esau saying that even though I sojourned with Lavan, nevertheless, I kept the 613 commandments of the Torah. Rashi says, what does it mean in Lavan Garti? He sent him a message, Garti b'gematria top reishu gimel. Kaloimar, im Lavan arosha Garti, I lived, I dwelt with Lavan. The Tariq mitzvah shamati, and I kept the 613 commandments. And I didn't learn from his evil deeds. Now, there is a famous question with regard to Yaakov's behavior when he was in Choron. Because there we find that Yaakov Avinu married two sisters, Rachel and Leah. Now, amongst Bnei Noach, as far as non-Jews are concerned, there is no issa midiraisa to marry two sisters. Rambam, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Hilchos Malachim Perikas, brings that only six types of arroyos, six types of forbidden relationships, are part of the Noahide code of the Shalom Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. And marrying two sisters is not one of those halachas. Bnei Noach are allowed to marry two sisters. But when the Torah was given to the Eden and Har Sinai, it says clearly, it's forbidden for a Yid to marry two sisters. So, even though Yaakov Avinu was not mechuyev to abide by the laws that would only become obligatory at Har Sinai, nevertheless, we find that the Ovis in general kept the mitzvahs. Avraham Avinu, the Gemara says in Yom HaFes, and it's a Mishnah already, in the end of Kiddushin, that Osa Avraham Avinu Eskola Teira, or Kiyam Avraham Avinu Eskola Teira, actually Nitna, even Mitzvah of Tashirin. And by Yaakov Avinu as well, we find that he observed the commandments, even as this Rashi says, Tarek Mitzvah Shamarti. So if so, why did he marry two sisters? Now the Ramban says that Yaakov Avinu only kept the mitzvahs when he was in Eretz Yisroel, not when he was in Chutz Lo'aretz. There was one law for whilst he was in Eretz Yisroel, and there was another law when he was in Chutz Lo'aretz. And this also might be connected with the fact the general shit of Ramban about the Ikar Shmiras HaMitzvahs is dafka in Eretz Yisroel. Even for us, the Ikar Shmiras HaMitzvahs is dafka ba'aretz, and sort of the mitzvahs that we do here is b'tor hachono, b'tor chinuch, for the mitzvahs that we'll do in Eretz Yisroel, it's Ramban and Parshas Eikev and other places where the Ramban speaks about this. But be that as it may, that's a good teretz for the Ramban. It's not a good teretz for Rashi. Why? Because Rashi says, in Lavan Garti, the Tarek Mitzvah Shamarti. So where was he with Lavan and Eretz Yisroel? In Chutz Lo'aretz. He was in Chutz Lo'aretz. And nevertheless, he says, the Tarek Mitzvah Shamarti, that means he observed the commandments that were only to be given at Sinai, even when he was in Lavan, in Choron with Lavan. So therefore, that would not suffice according to the Shitta of Rashi. So this requires an explanation, based on that which we learned in last week's Sedra, and based on the Rashi here in this week's Sedra, the Tarek Mitzvah Shamarti. So, there is an explanation as follows. In general, there is a principle that it's a good thing to be mahadr the mitzvah. To do a mitzvah menamucha. Even mitzvahs which you're not mechuyev to do, you can sometimes get the schar, k'mi she'ena metzuva v'isa. Paskin that in the Chaim Simon Yudzayin and in other places, if a woman does a mitzvah, she says she has man groma. So it's also a mitzvah, she gets schar. K'eina metzuva v'isa. Rambam Luchas Talmud Torah Perek Aleph Halach Yud Gimel says a woman who learns Torah, even if she's not metzuva in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because she gets schar. K'eina metzuva v'isa. According to some, based on the Rambam Luchas Malachim Perek Yud, if a goy does a mitzvah, he also gets schar. K'eina metzuva v'isa. But Bichlau, you can get schak in mitzvah. So there's certainly a mitzvah in general to be moisiv, and those mitzvahs which you are mechuyev in mitzvah ben amuvcha. So, for example, pi halacha, you only have to eat in the sukkah if you're having a proper meal. The Rambam says in the sukkah that it's a mitzvah minamucha not to even drink a glass of water out of the sukkah. There's a mitzvah to have three hadassim in your lulav. The Rambam says it's a mitzvah minamucha to have many hadassim because it's a noila mitzvah in the Rambam Hilchus lulav. And so on and so forth. There are also various concepts of hidur mitzvah that a person goes l'kinim mishura sadin. If you're not b'chuyim to do it, but nevertheless you do it. Sometimes it's a machoikas, nikra adin, we pass from like Rashi, that the tefillin should be written in such a seder. But l'kinim mishura sadin, many people are mahad of the mitzvah and put on also tefillin the rabbeinu tam. B'chaheino rabbis. But there is a klal as a yisoid that when you're going to do a hidur, you must make sure that this is Nishtaf Yenem's Cheshbon. There was a Maisa with the Yosef Yitzchok, the sixth Rebbe of Chabad, that he used to write or answer letters on Chol HaMoed. So someone asked him, for a person like you, it's pasnish to write on Chol HaMoed, even though Al Pi Halacha, there are many ways in which it's permissible, in many circumstances in which it's permissible to write. Rebbe Shini, the person who is he's supposed to be whiter than white. He shouldn't be writing the Chol HaMoed. So he said, "Sliv meine man ikke, sliv meine mahidur, kann ich nicht verbeugen auf jenem Sanika." Because of something which is a hidur mitzvah for me, I can't forego something which is critical for another person. So the other person is desperate, waiting for guidance, for advice. Yeah, so the Rebbe doesn't respond because he's got a hidur not to write on Chol HaMoed. That means the other person is going to be suffering from insomnia for another week. So therefore, in order that that shouldn't happen, so the tzaddik puts aside the hidurim so that he should be able to cater for that which is critical for someone else. I heard that the Derech Hatzachis, the Satmar Rebbe, someone once visited him, and he was telling him all the chumras that he does for Pesach. And amongst the chumras, he says that you know, he has everything is homemade, nothing purchased at all from any manufactured goods, and even the matzahs he bakes himself, absolutely from chicken to eggs, everything is homemade, no manufactured products. There's one thing that he gets from the store, and that's wine. So the Satmar Rebbe says to him, why Papa? Why won't wine be getting this store? So he starts shrugging his shoulders and Satmar Rebbe calls him out for the wine. Because everything else, if you make it at home, then your wife has to make it. If the wine, if you make it at home, it would be you making it. So that's why you don't have that habit of making the wine. So it shows how easy it is to make it durim at Yenem's Cheshbon. So Klal, you find this principle, and sometimes a person can even be nichshol in doing an aveira, and it's not only because it's a yanim's cheshbon, it's an aveira. For example, there are 2 days when you get to eating in the sukkah on the first night of sukkah, so you can be mekayim the mitzvah of eating in the sukkah when you have when it's raining. Generally, it's tied potter in a sukkah, but on the first night there's a day that you can be mekayim the mitzvah even when it's raining. So some people want to be mahada, so they wait until katzos, just in case it will stop raining, and they can eat the time mitzvah, yeshiva b'sukkah, achiva b'sukkah on the first night, without the rain. So Mishneh Brura in Simtof Rish Lamites castigates people who do this when they bring home guests, poor people who haven't eaten. So they sit there, and the mahada b'mitzvah, wait till 11 o'clock at night. Meanwhile, the poor person hasn't eaten properly for a few days and is desperate for a meal. So that's an example of a chumrah at Yenem's Cheshbon. And Mishneh Brura actually goes further and he says it's more than a chumrah. He says it's an issur of Baal Ta'acher in the mitzvah of tztokah. It's a violation of a negative commandment, the loisas of delivering the tztokah too late. Aye, it's not time to eat yet. It's deis, so you choose to be machne. Mishneh at Yenem's Cheshbon. Now let's come back a full circle to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, he Mustak Machnit, the Mikhaim, the Mitzvah Shalinit Nuat Sina. The Mitzvah Shalinit Nuat Sina wasn't a Chir. For him, it was a Chumashur Sadin, it was a Chumra, it was a Hidu Mitzvah. Now, Yaakov Avinu, when he first came to Choron, was only intending to marry one person. Wasn't intending to marry two, and that person was Rachel. The Maisa came, and Lavan tricked him, and he gave him Leah as a wife. Now he was married to Leah. So being married to Leah, he had two choices. Either he could not marry Rachel, and then he could be very frum. Tariq Mitzis. Yishal HaChesel HaSikha. Or he could marry Rachel, and then he would not be Mahadav Mitzis. He would not be undertaking this mitzvah, Kainan Mitzvah Reisa, of Yishal HaChesel HaSikha. So what did he do? So if all odds would be for Melech. But here it's not like that. Here, Rachel has been waiting for 7 years to marry Yaakov. So for 7 years she had been living in constant anticipation. There might have even been some verbal commitment. But Eich Sheniyah, if Yaakov Avinu would have at this stage withdrawn from his agreement to marry Rachel, even because of the mitzvah of Yishal HaChesel HaSikach, this would have been a devastating blow for Rachel. A whole world would have gone under because of this, she was anticipating waiting. That was her whole matara, to become the wife of this great tzaddik Yaakov. And now, everything would have turned into a pumpkin. So, in such circumstances, Yaakov Avinu is not mahadir to fulfill the mitzvah of Yishal HaChesel HaSikach. In such circumstances, he says, no, you can't do it, Achyam Yisheshbon. After Rachel's cheshbon, you can't do this. And that's why, in these circumstances, Yaakov did not. And that's not a steer to the fact that it says in Lovan Garak to the Tarab Mitzvah Shemar. But with the Tarab Mitzvahs, you can keep Tarab Mitzvahs, but in Tarab Mitzvahs themselves, there's also cases where one mitzvah is doicha another. If a person's Mechal Shabbos because there's a chayla, it's not called that he's not keeping Tarab Mitzvahs. It means that within the mitzvah skufa, there's a process of tchiyah, where one value is set aside because of another, one din is set aside because of another. Yaakov Avinu was committed to keeping the Tarab Mitzvahs. But within the keeping of the Tarab Mitzvahs, you had to keep it according to the principles, according to the ikroinim that govern halacha. And halacha is, the halacha itself would say that where you've got one obligation of ben adam lechaveiro, and then you've got a hidur, al kaponim lefi, your shmir of Tarab Mitzvahs now is not meich mitoyres chiyuv, it's mitoyres hidur. So then the halacha, so to speak, gufa, would be mechayev you to be madif, to do that which is critical and indispensable to another human being, rather than to adopt the chumrah. This is an explanation of the way the Babich Rebbe found in the Pesachas Perek Hey. Now move on to another concept in this week's Sedra, and that is that Yaakov Avinu comes back now from spending a lot of time with Lavan in Choron, spends a period of 22 years before he returns to his father Yitzchak. Now, we find that only in this week's Sedra it says, Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Zayin, Yovoi Yaakov Yitzchak Oviv Mamre Kiryas Haba, Hiri Chevre in Ashako Shom Avraham Yitzchak. Chazal tell us that Yaakov Avinu was Nenash, was punished for 22 years that he wasn't Mekai in the midst of Kibbut Avraham. Yosef HaTzadik was taken away from Yaakov Avinu for the same amount of years. He wasn't punished for the time that he spent in the Kibbutz, but he was punished for the time that he was by law. Now this, of course, is a very difficult thing, that he was punished. And Bifrat, drawing from the same theme that we were speaking before, we don't find that Kibbutz Avraham is one of the mitzvahs that B'nai Noach are mechuyev. It says clearly, the Dom of the Messina, to give an example, the Dom of the Messina dramatic way, the exaggerated way in which he kept Kibbud Avoim, he went to Paris Einim Mitzvah. It wasn't Mechuyah. Don't have any seen him as a goy in Ashkelon. It wasn't Mechuyah. Mami Sheinim Mitzvah Vaisa Kach says the Gemara. I'm Mitzvah Vaisa Lachas Kama Vakama. So the Gemara says a goy is not Mechuyah. So Yaakov Avinu was Taka Ben Reich. It wasn't Mechuyah. Okay, so he was Mahadi. But that there should be such a strong Einish. They're very truths. I wanted to suggest the following terms, which is a good say in Yiddishkeit in general. The Chlal and Mitzvahs, in Kibbud Avoim, there's a question here. Is this Mitzvah of Kibbud Avoim, is it the Yisoy in Ben Odom Lachavirah? Or is it the Mitzvah Shibben Odom Lamokim? To put it differently, is it a Choyk or a Mishpah? There are some mitzvahs which the Seichel is Mechayev, the Gemara says in Yuma that the mitzvahs which if they wouldn't have been commanded, we would have to do our own accord. There are some mitzvahs which are clearly not logical imperatives, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do it, so we do them. Where does Kibbud Avoim come in? Is it something which we would say, you would learn it for Torah, you would be Seichel, or Adam would be Mechayev? Or not. The Ramban, this would serve as speaks in the mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, that in addition to the mitzvah of Hinnom, he says, means all sorts of things which are not into the Shav mitzvahs, and all other types of things which are logical mitzvahs. Where does Kibbud Avoim come into the picture? The answer is as follows, that medicine is too non-greatest in Kibbud Avoim. Sefer HaChinuch HaMitzvah Lamed Gimel in Kibbud Avoim says that Mitzvahs Kibbud Avoim is a union of Kriyas Choyim. It's Rosh Hashanah Yerushalmi Peah, Halach Halach, Peah Kalach Halach Halach. But it's repaying a debt. That means it's reciprocal kindness. Your parents brought you into this world, they looked after you, so pay back time. Now he's in the old age home, you don't just leave him there to languish alone, but you look after him. So on and so forth. That's a Mitzvah Kibbud Avoim. So to a certain extent, Kibbud Avoim is indeed a logical imperative. It's a mishpat. Ilul in the Torah Seichel Adam would be mechayim. Hakoras Hatoim is a mitzvah which a healthy human being doesn't need a commandment. It doesn't say in the Torah anywhere you have to appreciate or say thank you. But we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes people who don't have a Hakoras Hatoim. Why? So the Moshe Feinstein writes in Yeshuva and Yeredeya Chelik Beis Simon Kuf Lamed, because that's something which you're supposed to know. Why are you supposed to know? Well, if you must have Adam Yosha, you made with a straight head and a straight heart, and this is something which you're expected to know of your own accord. Midas Mishchoses, you don't need a tzivu. So to the extent that you not doing Kibbud Avoim is a hashchosa, you just neglect your parents in old age and leave them with similar types of failure in Kibbud Avoim, that is taka a mishpah. Then there's a concept of Kibbud Avoim which goes much beyond that. But Kibbud Avoim is by Yid, it goes much further than that. By Yid is saying that he's got to be mechabed in mamish like a melech, a tarpon, and put his hands down on the floor so that his mother should be able to walk on them. And she didn't have her slippers in the outside of the house, so the Yerushalmi says, and it's brought down in places in tradition of Lamed Aleph on the base, that she came to brag about for the tarif, and look what he does. He says, Lehigia l'chatzi Kibbud Avoim. He hasn't even done half his duty. The degree of Kibbud Avoim which the Torah demands, that even if your parents spit at you, as in the case of Don Ben Messina, and even though they humiliate you and ridicule you publicly, you should keep quiet, not respond, not embarrass them, that is something which you can't say is a logical imperative. It's not a mishpat. The Rambam says that one of the, I think, only 9 places in the whole Sefer Hayad where the Rambam uses the Lashon Zer Sakosev as Mehuchas Man in Perek Vav, where he brings this thing that even if your parents ridicule you in public and humiliate you, then you tabel Gezeira Sakosev Yishka. The person should accept upon himself the decree and keep quiet. It's called Gezeira Sakosev. Why? Because Sechel Adam, human logic, will not dictate that. So therefore, this I'll paraphrase this sentence slightly different, but Moshe Feinstein in the above mentioned Shuvah explains what the din is, if it says in the Rambam that a person whose father isn't Jewish, he shouldn't embarrass him, and he should be noyed by mixas kovah. He should behave towards him with a little bit of kovah. What's a little bit? How do you measure what's a little bit and what's not? So, he says like this, to the extent the mitzvah stood over A comes under the category of mitzvah mishchosis, I mean failure to do so is a hashchosa, to that extent, it's incumbent upon a yid even towards his father. Why? Because even on going to and that's given to everyone. All human beings are obliged, whether they're yidin or goyim, whether it's a yid kati agoy, in the basics. A yid is not mitzvah's kovod. A yid has got to be given the full kovod, which is the kovod of the Torah demands. So, coming back a full circle, this is why we find the various places of Chaim on the Ovis, the Moshe on the end of Parshas Noach. It says that the Torah had to cover over for Avraham Avinu Shalayimu. He knew how Ovis Zokim, he left his father in his old age and he went. And here also we find the time on Yaakov Avinu, because even if there's no mitzvah of Kibud Av Aim in the full sense of the word, standing in service to the father, like the yid has to do, but the chesaron in Kibud Av Aim, that means not to be there at all, to be totally absent from their lives, that is a chesaron even by Ben Noach, and that is in the lashon of the Nissen Goyen writes in his Akdoma to Shas, call mitzvah the Kaliyah Bu'umas of liver, any mitzvah which is rooted in the human conscience, in the human, was matbiya, was implanted in our hearts, that is incumbent of Kolbani or Odom, whether Yidin or Goyen or life. Finally, I would like to finish off with an interesting Rahalocha. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked Bidvar Ha'ovel Hagodol Shenasa Lavi Haben. There was a maaser, but there was a couple that was divorced, and then the woman gave birth to a child, and they didn't inform the father, and the mother and her family got them well, and they arranged the bris without the rishus of the father. So he says like this, Vadai also is a god, they definitely did big Aveda, because he stole from him the mitzvah of Mila, and that's unbelievable. However, he says, with regard to the name they gave him, so the marshal gave him a name which the father didn't agree with, or didn't want, or didn't suggest. So let's say the mother wanted to call him Beryl, and the father wanted to call him Shmerel. So the mother gave the name Beryl, then he says that name he takes effect. Although the father, he says, still has a right also to give. And therefore the father, if he chooses now to call the child Shmerel, then the child will be called both. The name will be Beryl Shmerel, both together, because the name of the father also has a right, just like the mother has a right, the father has a right. Then you see, he says that you can have two names, that each parent can give a different name, and both names should become the legitimate, valid, bona fide name of the individual. It says, the Raya is, this we say. It says in Parshas Vayishlach, and now it said the part, capital on the page, Sherochel Koraloi Ben Oli, and Binyamin was born, Rochel called him Ben Oli. Rochel Koraloi Binyamin, and his father called him Binyamin. So you see, we can have such a case, where the mother gives one name, and the father gives another name, and Torah records them both to be the legitimate names of the child, so that's the case. And so he says, we find in other places, Moshe Rabbeinu, etc., etc., that other people also call them names. Imagine this Kabbalah Deus, that he's called Binyamin, and he's not called Rochel, he's not called Ben Ami. No, that's not because she didn't have a right. That's other reason Yaakov Avinu was Zeicher, that just like by Moshe Rabbeinu, Yaakov called other names, the Medrash says he was given the name called the Seal, the other names. Nevertheless, it was miscabled the name of Moshe that Baspari gave, Basti Baspari, which gave him the name Moshe, Kimin Amai Mishisu. That was miscabled, but he doesn't delegitimize or deauthenticate any of the other names that were given to Moshe. Now, it's still a bit of a chiddush, because in the case of Rachel, you don't find anywhere that it was in opposition to what her husband wanted. Here, by the case of the bris, clearly it was done al apri val tamosse, the husband. Besides that, the whole procedure of giving names by the ovis and the mohis might look slightly different. Because we see by the ovis, sometimes it was the parents, the father that gave the name, and sometimes it was the mohis that gave the name. Or by the Shvatim it says most of the times that the mother gave the name, so you see a very interesting thing, that sometimes the father was totally absent, he wasn't at all involved, and sometimes he was. The names of all the Shvatim, with the exception of Binyamin, were given by the mother. So and so we also find in other places in the Torah by the name Atikrashmei Moyav, Atikrashmei Ben Ami, Atikrashmei Shimshon, Atikrashmei Shmuel, Bachano, the Imay Korashmei Yabetz, Atikrashmei Peresh, in various places. And then the Yiduch Gisi, you have Sukkim where it says the father gives a name, Baikrashmei Enosh, Baikri Yasef Hashem of Chay Menashe, Atailed Ben Likrashmei Gershon. So therefore, by Shloimah Melech it says, Atikrashmei Shloimah. So in Torah Shabbat Sad, we have here no clarity about who is supposed to give the name. And therefore it's possible that really this was Alpina Huah, because we see that the Chazal say that it says in Bereshis Rabbah, Sof Pasha Ayin Beis, that the Mohis Nevi'is Hoyu, they were prophets, V'Ovis Tfeilim Lehem Benevuah. Like it says, Kol Asher Temelech Hasor Shema B'Koilah. So maybe that's why the reason was that in most cases it was the mothers that gave the name. Eir Sheiyah, all I'm being mayor is that it is possible that the procedure of Mesina Shemus Hayideh Ovis Vahimois was done at the Kodesh Alpinavua, and Lule Dibre Ha'idus Moshe, one could say that Loyal Lamed Alakar Yotsu, we can't derive any general principle from this. Nevertheless, as I said in the above mentioned Shura, which is a fascinating Shura, and also characteristic of a few cases in Ibis Moshe where he derives a halacha or a psak directly from sukkim or stories in Torah Shabbat Sad. For example, in Asmi Sedri, he says that you can learn from Torah Shabbat Sad that it's not dangerous to have one child right after another, because Leah gave birth to several children, seven children within very, very shortly one after the other. So again, you learn that from Perish itself. So here we have another interesting case where he derives a principle that both the father and the mother have independent rights of Kriya Shemus from that which we learn here with regards to the Shem of the Mother.